WFMP, Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Saturday morning, but it's above freezing. So we've got to be grateful for that, right?
Right.
I'm Lee Blaine.
I'm Joan Steffen in for Colleen Lindstrom.
She's just getting herself together.
I am. No, I'm probably not. I'm just getting closer.
I mean, is this the show for us or what, today's topic?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? I have been in your home, and I wouldn't say from being in your home that it's the show for you, but for me, it's the show for me.
You should be there today, Joan.
Really?
What's
the topic?
The topic is, the overall theme is creating a happy home, but this hour we're going to talk a lot about organizing. We've got a couple really great professional organizers who are going to tell us how to get our lives in order. And figured this is a good time to do it at the beginning of the year, if any.
And truthfully,
why wait for spring cleaning?
Exactly. And truthfully, what you keep hearing over and over again is if your home is in order, it's a reflection of what your life is, which really scares me.
Okay, so the funny thing is my husband has to work down the hall this morning.
And he is.
Yeah, and so normally we have your daughter, who's our nanny.
Uh-huh. The baby whisperer.
The baby whisperer. Mm-hmm. She's already coming tomorrow, and so I thought, I'm going to give her a break. And my little one's godparents are Michelle Stimson, who's been on our show a bunch of times. She's a great life coach, and her husband.
And awesome human being.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They don't have kids, and they have the cleanest home in America.
Oh,
I mean... It's like totally zen, you
really?
Know, like there's not a thing out of place.
So do you panic for them?
Well, I did. I didn't have time to panic. It was like they're just going to have to deal with it. Looks like a wild pack of wolves.
Wild pack of wolves who love Legos and cars.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, really, it's ridiculous. I felt like I was able to manage it okay when I had one kid.
Yeah.
Now that I've got a toddler... plus the almost 7-year-old, it's just mass chaos. And
well, it's their job to make mass chaos. So,
I know.
You know, you've got one who's making mass chaos. By the time you've cleaned that up, the other one has created its own level of mass chaos.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, why even put the stuff away? Although I still do, and then it just comes back out. My 1.5-year-old sees me put all the books and the magazines back on the shelf, uh-huh. back on the coffee table, and he looks at me like, silly mommy, why did you put those there?
They belong on the floor.
And will just look at me, come up, and just wipe them back onto the floor.
And so what do you do
I leave
then?
Them.
You leave them on the floor? It's like, this is not a game.
Yeah.
Because they do think it's a game at that
age.
It's like, you take them out, you put them back, I take them out.
Yeah. And then I might put them back at night, you know, and then I know that...
So while you're sleeping, they look really good.
Right.
I want to ask you, though, before you had children, what did your home look like?
My home, I think, was pretty well in order. It came out at the office.
Uh-huh.
I had a little hellhole for my office. Like, it was just stacks of paper and stuff. And it was organized chaos, I felt like. I kind of knew where things were. But I am, my husband says that I'm a pack rat. I don't think I'm that much of a pack rat, but he will just throw things away with, like, from the mail and stuff without even looking at it. And I'm like, I need to see the catalog and the, you know, what if there's a coupon in there or something like that.
Right.
But then I might not get to it. you know, for several days.
Or when you get to it, you'll clip out the coupon. You'll forget to throw away the catalog.
Right.
You'll put the coupon somewhere. You forget where it is. You will remember it when you're at the checkout at whatever store you're at. And then by the time you get back to it, it has expired.
Exactly.
That
is my life as
really,
well.
Really, that's you too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be two peas in a pod on this one.
I know. We should just move in together.
I know. But imagine the horror. Because my husband is also the guy who will throw things away.
Yeah.
And without... He asks more often now, but at one point it was like I just come home and find things at the end of the driveway ready for the garbage to pick up. It's like, that is a good rustic stool I was going to use to make something in the next decade.
I know. Yeah. In fact, our basement, I used to be really proud of our basement because it was somewhat organized, and now it's starting to look like there's too much stuff, you know, and like there's furniture down there that I don't know if we're ever going to use again. And so I should, and I've been talking about selling it on Craigslist. Uh-huh. I have not gotten around to, you know, you got to pull it out and take a picture. Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be there when somebody wants to take a look at it.
Right.
Or come pick it up.
Yes. And I know it would feel good if it was gone.
Yeah.
And I'd get some money for it.
Yeah.
But I just have not.
So what do you think that is? Why do you think you just can't get past that? And I'm asking you this because I want to know for myself why I can't get past some of these things. You know, just the idea of like, well, just put it on Craigslist. It sounds like a really simple thing to do. Why can't you/I do that?
It's a good question that I don't have the answer to.
I really want to know.
Part of it, I think, is, well, you and I have talked, I don't know if we've talked on the air about it or not, but... about kind of this scarcity mentality. Mm. I think that maybe there's some part of me that feels like if I hang on to everything, I've got lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not without ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I grew up during the Depression, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. So there's that. The stuff that I have, I really like. It's cute, you know, stuff that just doesn't work right now in my house. And so I kind of have visions of, oh, I could be creative with it someday.
Yeah. Well, and you know, your children who are 2 and almost 7 will soon be moving out. So they're going to need it for their apartments. That was my excuse for a lot of the stuff that I held on to. And it still is. I mean, my oldest daughter, we held on to stuff forever, just knowing that she was going to be going away to college. She would have her own apartment.
Did she ever use it?
Yeah, she did.
Good.
She
See?
Did. But now we need to get rid of a bunch of stuff right now, too. And we have, you know, my lovely daughter, Jordan, who's like, well, don't get rid of it because someday I'm going to want it. And it would be, you know, recyclable.
Right.
It would be so much less expensive than her going out and buying what she needs when she gets into an apartment.
Yes.
So
my other problem is that I'm not good about knowing what kind of storage I need. Because I right now, in our living room, first of all, last night, we have a great room so that you can see our family room from our kitchen, but then our living room is around the corner, uh-huh. like it's a separate room. And I told my almost 7-year-old that he needed to clean up the family room floor. Uh-huh. So I'm in the kitchen doing other things, and I look, and the floor is clean. Only later that night did I realize all he did was push everything into the living room. So it's all on the living room floor. Very clever.
He is a wise boy. Efficiency is also important.
I know. So I've got all these toys. We haven't even bought many toys for our toddler because we have others, you know, from when the 7-year-old was little.
But plus, they procreate, so.
Right, and we've received gifts and everything. Mm-hmm. And so now I need more storage, and I'm thinking in my living room is starting to become sort of a toy portal. And I don't, you know, I'm thinking, do I buy a bookshelf and then... Right. Do I put stuff in? I mean, toys today are so huge.
Right. And I wish they'd make them in better colors and out of things that you're actually proud to have around rather than, you know, giant, really
neon
big plastic
orange.
Neon things. I know.
I know.
They don't.
I can't reach the phone, Emma.
Okay. Well, would you like a little help with that?
I forgot to, like, bring the console, everything.
You want me to come over there and bring the phone to you?
No. I I just want Emma to answer. Okay, this is how disorganized I am this morning.
That's why we love you.
It's reflective of all the toys in your living room.
That's right.
Which I do have a suggestion. Maybe you could just put doors on the living room and just forget about it. Just keep throwing stuff in there. Just put doors. That's the kind of logic I'm going to apply today.
Now.
Just an FYI.
Okay, well, we have Jen on the line who has a solution to getting rid of things.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Jen, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. Okay, so what's your suggestion?
Well, I've realized the reason that I had a problem getting rid of things was guilt. Because it's like, why am I getting rid of it? I shouldn't have bought it in the first place.
Yeah.
And then the whole, I might use it later. And finally, last year, I gave myself permission. And I said, I have permission to get rid of it. I have permission to have room to walk through my living room. And somebody can use it. And if I ever need to get a rustic stool, I can go get one. But I'd rather not have a rustic stool in my living room right now. I know where to get one because I know where I gave mine away.
Or you could get one on Joan's curb.
You could get one on Craigslist.
Yeah, that's true.
So I went from a two-bedroom condo with a garage to a one-bedroom apartment with one tiny walk-in closet, and it has been really hard. And I have gone to the point now where I have empty storage containers, and I don't know where to put them.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. I might invite you over, Jen.
But it's guilt. It's totally guilt that, you know.
Yeah.
Why do I have five planner covers? Well,
right.
Different jobs. I had different sizes and then different brands, and they, like, have little punch holes in different places. I don't need five planner covers. So, okay, which one am I using now?
Yeah.
And they're so expensive, but I didn't pay for them. My company paid for them. So
well, that's good.
Get rid of them. But it's guilt. I shouldn't have bought it. I shouldn't give it away because I might need it again.
Right.
And it's been very uplifting. I keep a bag where I keep my recycling. And everything I pick up that I think, oh, this is really ugly. And you know what? I really don't want to use it. And I don't know when I'm going to use it. It goes in the bag next to the recycling. And then when I take the recycling out, I drop the stuff that I decided I want at Savers or Art Value Village or Goodwill. And I get it out of the house.
Wow. You're a better woman than I.
Oh, it took therapy.
Yeah, no, I know. It feels awesome whenever you clear that stuff out. Thank you for the call, Jen. And, you know, we should probably take a break here because we've got Sarah Peterson coming up. She is a local organizer. She's going to give us even more tips on how we can get our lives in order. Stay tuned to Get Real.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1.
Talking about getting our lives, getting our homes in order so we can all have happy houses. I'm Leave Lane.
And I'm Joan Steffenden for Colleen.
And Sarah Peterson is with us. She's a professional organizer and the owner of Time to Organize, which is a local company devoted to helping homeowners organize, simplify, and find time they didn't even know they had.
Now that's intriguing.
I need
some of that. The finding time thing. Yeah.
I know. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I don't know if you've been listening to us, but we've got some issues.
Oh, no. Let me help.
Yes.
We'd be great poster children for your business if you'd like to have a couple.
Hey, if everyone is perfect, I wouldn't have any business.
Well, that's true. I mean, I don't feel like, you know, I'm not living in a garbage house.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a lot of toys.
Well, you have children.
My children have a lot of toys. And I was telling Joan that I just don't know how to figure out the whole storage thing. Mm-hmm. My husband said to me, feels like you're always buying storage. And I know. I said,
and then that
I know.
Becomes the clutter.
I know. What am I doing wrong, Sarah?
No, don't buy the containers first. That's kind of the, you know, number one problem. Most people think, oh, the containers will be the answer.
Right.
And it's so not the answer. It's kind of, that's kind of a last step. When you're organizing, you think, okay, containers, last step, first step. So could I give you a couple steps?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay. So step number one is know why you want to get organized. So we don't just plow, you know, headlong into this and go, I'm just going to start organizing today. Know why you want to get there. There's a lot of different benefits of getting organized. So, you know, Lee, think about why do you want to get going in that direction? What's driving you crazy? So think about the toys.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I would like to avoid injury.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I trip a lot on toy cars. And I just like having a peaceful, calm environment, and I don't feel that way when I have things strewn about.
That's a great reason to get organized. So here's a couple other ones, and people are kind of thinking, cause sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly why you want to get organized, but as soon as you hear it, you go, oh, well, that's the reason. So it might help improve some time management and efficiency within the family. Sometimes there's just so much clutter that you're trying to get out the door and you can't find your stuff. So time management is a really big one. Or just making you have more order in your family's life. Is your calendar crazy? So maybe getting that calendar a little better under control. Having that peace and less stress, that's a huge one. Having a healthier environment. Just think about when you have all that stuff around, is it easy to clean around all that stuff?
No.
No, it's not. It's hard. You have to dust it and move it and, you know, take care of it. Everything you buy, you have to take care of. So the less clutter you have, the easier it is to clean and less places for the dust to settle. Mm-hmm. Some people want to get organized because it's going to actually save money in the long run. You'll be able to find those bills that you need, and you can, you know, purchase things on sale rather than right at that moment you need it, you know, going, oh, I can't find what I need. I have to go buy another one. But if you know what you have and you can find it when you need it, you'll actually save money.
Yes. Okay, so then how do we get started?
Okay, make a plan, write it down.
Okay.
I know that sounds really boring, but let's kind of chunk it out a little bit. So maybe instead of saying, okay, I'm going to organize the whole house, which is totally overwhelming.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Just like with any goal, write it down and chunk it out a little bit. So, okay, we're not going to say organize the house, but let's start with maybe organize the front hall closet. That's a really nice place to start because it's not too overwhelming. If that's too overwhelming, move down to something smaller, like let's do the sock drawer.
Mm-hmm.
We can do the sock drawer. And if that's still too overwhelming, let's go a little bit smaller. How about if you just clear out all the old magazines from your magazine rack? I know anyone can do that this weekend.
I know, that feels so good.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I have to tell you, when you mentioned like cleaning out the closet, I immediately envisioned myself starting cleaning out the closet, finding something that needed to go in the basement, going to the basement, trying to find a place where that thing should go in the basement, finding something else that really needed to go up to the bedroom, and then I'm up in the bedroom and all of a sudden I'm working on the top of my dresser. I am a problem child. I don't know. I don't know. Is that a mental issue? What's going on with me?
You're not mental.
Okay.
I think it's just the overwhelm. You know, you start pulling stuff out, and it's really easy to go off on those tangents.
Yeah.
So much, and then all of a sudden, the kids call, and you have to go run and deal with them.
Right.
Or the doorbell rings, or their emails beeping at you. And it's just really easy to get distracted. So that's why I like you to start in some place really small, so you kind of have a success there.
And lock yourself in.
And then you can move to something bigger after that. No, one place that's really fun to start is to organize your purse. Because we all have purses. Super easy. So maybe that's something everyone that's listening can do today is to pull out your purse.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to kind of follow a simple process. And if you can learn this process, you can do it with anything in your house. So the first step is you dump everything out. And again, you can do this in your closet, but you'd only be working in your closet. You're not pulling apart the entire house.
Okay.
So you take everything out, and then you throw out the garbage. And that's really easy to do. You know, you know what's garbage, the gum wrappers and the old receipts and anything that looks fuzzy or nasty. So get rid of those. Then once you get that out, then you can put away the things that don't belong in there, like the 18 lipsticks or the baby pacifiers, if you don't got 18 of those in your purse.
But now Joan's point, do you take like those lipsticks and take them at that moment to where they belong? Because like she said, my fear is that suddenly I look at the makeup drawer or whatever and go, oh, I got to organize this now.
Yep, kind of one thing at a time. So you clean out the purse.
Yeah.
You get everything in one pile that's going to be put away. It's not like when you pull one lipstick out, you're going to go run and go put it away. Get your pile of maybe label a little box things that need to go somewhere else. So get that in there, and then when you're all done with that sorting and the garbage throwing out phase, and then you're kind of in the assign a home phase where you're putting things where they really need to be, that's when you go and do it. But just don't let yourself get distracted. Say, I'm just putting away the things in this box, and once that's done, then that job is done.
Okay.
So then you're going to decide where everything's going to go that you're keeping. So you can call that assign a home or whatever you want to call it. So you might decide in your purse that all the makeup goes into a makeup bag or a little baggie. And, you know, you always have a place where you put your cell phone. Like, where is the home for your cell phone? Stick that in there. Just kind of see the categories of stuff that end up in that purse of yours. So Band-Aids and Tylenol might go in one spot. So you've assigned a home. And then containerized a little bit. And it's really great if you can label, but of course in your purse you're not going to label something. But, you know, when you're working on this at home, a lot of people kind of skip that labeling step, which is really important because if you want your spouse and your kids to be able to put something away, you need to label it. Otherwise, you can't blame them when they don't know where it goes.
I know that's true in my filing system because I will create a filing system for the bills and whatnot. And if there is not a file created, then it just starts to accumulate on top of my desk because, well, I haven't created a file yet,
right.
And I don't want to take the time now to create the file. I mean, that's if I had a place to put the stuff, I would be much more likely to put it away.
Absolutely. And then once you get your project done and you're feeling really good about yourself, make sure you're maintaining it on a regular basis. So if you got your purse all looking nice and neat, it's only going to take you 5 minutes to maintain that each week. Now, anything in your house is going to probably take more than 5 minutes a week, but it's not going to take as long as you think it is. So,
I think I need to also commit to the box of stuff that doesn't belong in my purse because I could see that I'd put it in the box and feel really good that my purse is all clean and then forget about the box until I need something in the box.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So remember, you just got to remember those steps. And they actually kind of spell out an acronym that I came up with. It's PEACE, and I know you'd probably love
PEACE.
So P is the process and sort, and E is edit the clutter, and A is assign a home, and C is containerize and label, and E is ensure success by scheduling maintenance. So if you can remember PEACE, that would help you with that step that you're kind of forgetting the assigning a home and getting things putting away because of containerize and label. So.
Okay. We got to take a break, but we're talking with Sarah Pedersen, a local professional organizer and owner of Time to Organize. I want to, she's got some other steps here that are going to be important for us, Joan.
I've got copious notes.
Yes, we'll be back right after this.
Living life. Out loud on FM 107.1. Into a pot of gold. I've been there, done that. I ain't looking back on the seeds I've sown. Saving times, spending too much time on the telephone. He says you can't go home. Who says you can't go home? There's only one place they call me one of their own.
Want to go home once you've gotten it all organized. That's what we're talking about today, creating a happy home. And we've been chatting with Sarah Pedersen, who's a local professional organizer. Now, Sarah, I was just talking about the fact that I've lost all this weight with Metafast. And I'm wondering, when you have clients who are doing that, what is your suggestion in terms of, you know, what clothes do you keep in your closet? Mm-hmm. What do you get rid of?
No, that is hard, isn't it? It's because you'll hear that rule, that one-year rule, but that doesn't apply to everything because there might be a dress you wear one holiday and you might like to wear, you might not wear again for another year or another 2 years.
Right.
You can't always go by the one-year rule, but I think you kind of know in your gut, like, I really didn't like that the first time around and I'm really not going to wear it. Or sometimes once you get into the organizing process and you get into the sorting phase, you can see how many you have of similar items. So you might see, well, I have, you know, 8 black sweaters. Am I really going to wear black sweaters? And do I still really like black sweaters? So, you know, kind of seeing what you have once it's sorted, it's a lot easier to see duplicate items and see, how many do I really need of that? And also just really looking at the space you have. I mean, if you're really tight on space, you know that something's got to go. So process of elimination, what do you like the least? Maybe those things will go first.
And then once I've reached kind of my goal weight, I'm thinking I probably should get rid of the bigger clothes and hang on to the skinny clothes, right?
I would think
I think that'd be a good idea. Otherwise, you're just tempting yourself back into the big hole, aren't you?
I know, yes.
But you, you went through all this work, so maybe it would be nice to have a little shopping trip.
That's true, Sarah.
I have a feeling. I don't know. I'll just ask you the question. I was going to answer it for you, but here's something that, I do because I have kind of a guilt thing about throwing things away and this idea that, well, maybe someday I'll wear that or someday I'll, you know, I'll be that size again.
Right.
I put things, there's an intermediate step for me where I'll put things into a bag or a box and I'll put it away. And then by the time you you remember it's there, it's like, oh, I didn't miss any of those things, and then I can give it away. It seems like I need that psychological.
You're such a pro, Joan.
Really?
that's what we recommend as professional organizers.
Oh.
Really having a because some clients really have a hard time letting go. So throw it in a box or bag. Put a date that's maybe 3 or 6 months into the future. And if you haven't gone into that box or bag, you know, by the time you reach that date, that box goes. You do not open it. You call Goodwill or, you know, the Salvation Army, and they come pick it up, and it's gone.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to hate that idea, but
no,
I'm feeling better now.
You're
okay.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
I remember Colleen saying that when they moved to their new house, she found boxes from the last time they moved.
Yes.
Remember this?
Yes.
And she didn't even open them. She just trashed them. And so many listeners were like, oh, my gosh, what if you had, like, photo albums or something special in there? And she's like, I don't care.
Well, she didn't miss it, so that's okay.
I know. I don't know if I could do
it. I don't think I could do that, not knowing what was inside.
Yeah.
If I knew that I'd put stuff in there that with clothing
she had
or
no
whatever.
Idea.
Oh my God.
I know.
Makes me want to go to the landfill and find out what was in there.
Oh no. So when you mentioned guilt, now don't feel guilt for getting rid of things because you're actually honoring the things. You're not necessarily throwing them in the trash, I bet. I bet you're donating them to some great cause, right?
As a rule. Yeah,
so
that's hard for me to just throw
them
something.
New life. Yeah.
So how do you fight procrastination? Because that's
don't we
easy.
Love to do that? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a couple of different little steps to help. One is to enlist the help of your family. So, you know, you don't need to be doing everything all by yourself. So make sure there's a division of the chores and make sure that the kids are doing some chores for sure. And get the family involved in the organizing process, especially the clutter clearing and the downsizing part, because everyone kind of helped contribute to the clutter and the chaos. So everyone should really help with the downsizing. And I think when you get the kids involved in teaching them to let go of some things, that's a really good skill for them to have as they get older. So if you teach it when they're young, they won't necessarily be as likely to be the pack rat when they get older.
Oh, I've got a kid who just, I mean, it is drama when we talk about, he had the trailer of a truck break last week. Like, couldn't work anymore, and he was almost in tears about the thought of putting it in the garbage.
How old is he again?
Almost 7.
Okay, so I worked with a family a couple weeks ago who had kind of a similar issue, and I was working directly with the kids and the mom. And the older daughter, who was I think maybe 8, she had no problem letting go of stuff. She was like all over it. She was like, so excited. But the younger one was freaking out.
Yeah.
So I pulled the mom aside and I said, could we do maybe a little incentive program? Could we say maybe for every, 20 things that you get rid of, you get to earn a lunch with mom and dad at McDonald's or something like that?
Mm.
And they loved that incentive idea. So they ended up doing that, and it worked great. As soon as we got the incentive out, yay, it was like happy day. And I didn't necessarily say, at the end of getting rid of 20 things, you're going to get more stuff, because that's not how it needs to work. It's
right.
Just realizing there is some reward. I mean, the older daughter understood that as she was getting rid of things, they were going to go to other kids in need. She got that. But at age 6, you're not thinking, this is going to someone else, how happy day.
Yeah.
But they can see that kind of reward at the end of the tunnel for them.
Yeah. It's funny. My he's going to turn 7 in a couple weeks, and he's having a birthday party the day after another friend is having a birthday party.
Uh-huh.
That friend has asked, instead of presents, to bring a book that they're going to give all the books to kids at Children's Hospital.
Oh,
I know. I told my kid, I'm like, isn't that amazing? Is there something that you'd like to do? No. I want to get some presents. Like, oh my God, I've raised you wrong.
That's human nature.
I know. Someday he'll get it.
Okay, so we enlisted the help of your family. So how about if we make it fun at the same time? So if, getting organized is not fun. It's very rewarding, but it's not always fun for everyone, except for me, because I'm weird. But play some music, or you could put on an audiobook or learn a new language. Do something while you're going through that process of sorting, especially if your project is big, like you're going to tackle the whole house eventually. Do something fun while you're doing it. And then when you're done with each little chunk, reward yourself. So maybe you go out and you get a latte, or you go see a movie, or maybe at the end of a really big project, you'll get a massage or something. So work towards that goal. It's kind of like the weight loss. Like when you know you get there, you finally get to go on a little shopping spree. Give yourself that big reward.
Yeah, that's great. Sarah, we got to let you go, but we could probably...
No, I'm not ready.
I know. Believe me, we'll have another show about this, I'm sure. once we get beyond our purses and our closets.
Yes.
Okay, let me know how it goes.
Yeah, then we'll need some more help.
Love it.
All right,
Thank you.
Talking about creating a happy home today. We'll be right back.
Living life out loud. FM 107.1.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one. Ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to universities where they were put in boxes, and they came out all the same. It's doctors, lawyers, and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they're all just the same.
We're talking about creating happy homes by organizing, getting our stuff together. Later in the show, we're going to talk about feng shui. And right now, we've got Chris Beneke with us. She is the local founder of Humble Abode Organizing. And one of the really cool things that this professional organizer does is she helps her clients be kind to the earth. Humble Abode has formed partnerships with community organizations and businesses that will reuse or recycle the stuff that's become your junk, so you're not just dumping your clutter into a landfill.
Yay!
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So how does this work? I mean, I know that we all want to do this, but we don't always know where to send the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. It is a problem. And I think people are becoming more aware of the need to reuse and recycle.
Yeah.
Looking at the impact on the earth. And so, I mean, the internet is a great resource for looking for places that will donate things,
mm-hmm.
Where you can donate things. And then, you know, my company can also help do that.
So tell me about some of the organizations that you partner with. Like, what kinds of stuff can you...
Well, you know, it's everything,
okay.
Really. I mean, there's some things that are truly junk and just need to be thrown away. But places like Sabathany Community Center in South Minneapolis, is in a neighborhood where people are in great need,
mm-hmm.
and there are things that they can use that people may be, you know, done with, but other people will find those useful and helpful. There's a kids program called Leonardo's Basement, also in South Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
Where kids create things, and it's amazing the stuff that they use there.
But what kinds of things, Chris?
Well, you know, like even matchbox cars, wheels from toys, doorknobs, crayons.
All those things that you would think, like, I'm just going to toss this because it's broken. But they're using it in some kind of craft project?
Exactly. Or
just
creating things. They do, you know, they create these fabulous catapults or boats or swords or, you know, I mean, these kids are just creating big things and little things, and everything goes into it.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really... So even if you think it's a piece of garbage, it might be able to be used by a kid who's creating something fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're doing this, Chris, because that's really one of the stumbling blocks. Lee and I were talking about it earlier, where you're looking at all these things in your house,
mm-hmm.
and you think, okay, I can decide what I want to keep and what I want to give away, maybe.
Right.
But but then you're left with this sofa, you're left with, you know, end tables and things like that. You think, like, well, do I have the time to do Craigslist? I just want to really get them into someone's hands who can really use them.
Yep, exactly.
And so are there other suggestions? And
Bridging is one of my favorite places. They help people, families who are transitioning from homelessness into housing. And these people usually have nothing. They need beds. They need couches, chairs. They need silverware and dishes. They don't care if it's mismatched.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the big items like that can be useful to somebody else.
Now, do I have to rent a trailer and haul it someplace? Because that's also, you know, it's just like another day and more expense.
Exactly. No, a place like Bridging has a truck. And you can call and arrange a pickup. A place like the Reuse Center is part of the Green Institute, and they also can come to your house and pick up things. Like when I redid my kitchen, I pulled out old cabinets. Mm-hmm. They were still in really good shape, and the Reuse Center came and picked them up.
Wow.
Brought them to their store. So they're you know, depending on the size of the load.
Yeah.
We use the Reuse Center all the time
on
decorating scents. It was just one of those go-to places because you can always go there and find something that will suit your purposes. It may not be exactly what you would find at a Home Depot or,
you mean,
you know.
You would use it to buy
We would
stuff.
Use it to, yeah, we would
Where
go there
it?
And buy. It's in Minnehaha and Lake Street, right around there?
Yeah,
is
or
right?
Hiawatha.
Hiawatha, that's what it is. Yeah. Hiawatha and Lake. And it's just filled with treasures if you're hunting for those little odd things.
If you want to add stuff.
If you want to add stuff. Yeah, I guess that's not the topic today, is it? Sorry. You can see where my heart lies, apparently.
Yeah, really. Not about buying, Joe.
Yeah.
Sorry. This would be my problem. So I'm so glad they have a truck, because if I brought the stuff there, I would just bring as much stuff home.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry.
So when you are working with people, when you're working with clients in their homes, do you suggest, you know, are people usually surprised at the stuff that you can reuse and recycle?
Yes. They think this is, you know, these are mismatched pieces of things.
Yeah.
Nobody could possibly want to use this beaded doorway, whatever. Mm-hmm. But stuff like that just gets used.
So the broken truck trailer that my son didn't want to throw away, we could have actually given it to some place like Leonardo's Basement.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, exactly.
Well, you're opening a whole new world for us here.
And do you have
reusing and restoring and...
Do you have resources listed on your website?
Say that again, Joan.
Do you have resources listed on your website so people can...
No, I haven't yet, but I'm going to put it on there right away.
Well, they can give you a buzz, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And you'll come out and help people know where stuff can go, and I bet you'll facilitate getting it to the places.
Yep. Sometimes I do some of the hauling for people, and other times I help them figure out where to... Send their things.
Love it. Cool. Well, we've got a link to your website so that everybody can get a hold of you easily. And thanks for doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate the chance to talk about it.
Absolutely. That's Chris from Humble Abode Organizing. We're talking about creating a happy home today here on Get Real. We'll be right back.
Living life out loud. FM 107.1.
Ma'am, I know you don't know me from Adam, but these handprints on the front steps are mine. Up those stairs in that little back bedroom is where I did my homework and I learned to play guitar. And I bet you didn't know, under that live oak, my favorite dog is buried in the yard. I thought if I could touch this place, I'll feel it. This brokenness inside me might start healing. Out here it's like I'm someone else. I thought that maybe I could find myself. If I could just come in, I swear I'll nothing but a memory from the house that built me.
I have a house that built me. Did you? Did you?
What
have
do you mean?
Well, I was so attached to my childhood home.
Yeah.
When my parents decided to move when I was in ninth grade, I mean, it worked out fine. It's a great house. They're still in it. But it was really hard for me to leave that house that I had mainly grown up in. And really, you know, really felt attached to it. So I can understand the lyrics of that song. And maybe every kid feels that way. I don't know.
I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm this... What a shock. I'm the same way. It doesn't sound as meaningful, but I tend to anthropomorphize places and things. It means, you know, like I give them characteristics. It's like, I know this house is going to miss me. I remember the emotions of it. You know, and I feel like if I'm away from the house, then I won't remember the things that I want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard for me. And that's probably why it's difficult for me to give things up. Because everything represents something else. In some way in my mind.
Right.
And a home is just, it's so difficult to close the door for the last time on a place where you've had memories.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you have to come with some constructive way to know that you're remembering those things. You know, maybe it's a memory book or something.
Right. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I know that I wouldn't want to live there right now.
Right.
But I still just have sort of this longing about that house. And I think part of it is that, you know, I had a very fun and free childhood and had lots of people around me in that neighborhood that supported mm-hmm. me. And so those feelings, mm-hmm. I think, really play into... where I was living. And that's the kind of house that I want to create for my kids.
Yeah.
And I have to keep remembering that, I think, that it's not about really the toys that are on the floor. I mean, it would be nice to clear them, but that's not what they're going to remember.
Uh-uh. I remember how neat my mom used to keep the house. Man, I miss those days.
And in fact, I don't want to be. I would not want to be remembered for being orderly.
No.
You know?
No. What do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for being creative and a little bit off the cuff. You know, more leisurely, I guess.
You know what? It sounds like your house then. Right?
Uh-oh.
Because you obviously have an intention, spoken or unspoken,
right.
And you've... That's what you've created, because you walk into your house and you sense the creativity at work there, and you sense the ease. You know that when you come into your house, you don't need to, you don't need to worry about putting your feet up if you want to or anything mm-hmm. like that. And you do get the sense of ease in your house. A family lives there,
right?
It isn't a Better Homes and Gardens.
Yeah, we live there hard.
Yeah. So you're doing just fine.
Somebody's got to tell my husband that, too. Oh. He's kind of the clean freak of the family, and thank God I have him.
I know, my husband, too.
He does the, he is the human laundromat, which is awesome.
Does he vacuum?
He does.
Mine, too?
Yes, it's wonderful. And I just sit there with bonbons and look
and
at the toys.
Trashy magazines.
No, sometimes I think he does wonder, what does she do?
Well, babies take a lot of work.
I know.
You know?
And I'm picking the magazines up off the floor 12 times a day.
Oh, right.
Or chasing, you know, let's not put the dog food in the water dish, and let's not put the toys in the dog's water dish either.
I know.
You know,
the kids are going to remember the time that you spent with them.
Yeah.
I.
It's just a small phase in my life, right?
Yeah, right. Right.
Right.
Meant to be. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, sitting here with a 20 and 25 year old, it was a second ago that I was thinking, like, when am I going to get time for myself, or when am I going to have a kitchen that's clean? And it's like, well, it's still not clean. I was just blaming them for it, apparently.
And now they can't be the scapegoats as much.
Not so
especially
much.
The one who doesn't live with you.
Right. She comes over and messes things up.
Well, so we don't want you to feel bad about mm-hmm. the place that you're living.
No.
But I think that this weekend I'd like to do some kind of organizing project, because every time I do it, I feel so much lighter.
Yeah.
You know, it's very exciting. It's just the diving in to do it.
It may even support the protocol that you're on, the MetaFast. It may even support that.
How so?
Well, wasn't that the premise of one of the books of the organizer from Oprah, where it's like, does this clutter make my butt look big?
Yes.
Where he said, get rid of the clutter. It reflects back into your life, your physical body, everything. So it may even support that.
Yeah.
So
good thinking.
Let's go home and hose down our houses.
We're gonna talk to Carol Heider coming up. She is an international feng shui expert, and we love her. She's got all kinds of good tips for our homes in this new year. Stay tuned. Sometimes.
sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every door.